so the title of the paper is Ghost Steps Behind My Steps, Black Metal and Ritual Renewal. The focus of the topic changed a little bit during the construction of the paper, but it's still more or less faithful to the title. So, okay. Okay, excellent. Okay, so black metal, more so than most any genre of music, is concerned both sonically and thematically with thermal intensities. The blueprint for the modern sound strongly encodes resonances of its origins in the frigid Scandinavian north, and despite its southern passage through networks of geographic and cultural transformational influence, it has retained a characteristic level of coldness as an immanent quality. However, one has to look no further than the cover of Immortal's diabolical full moon mysticism, old Bathory publicity photos, or shirtless shots of blasphemy in a Vancouver cemetery, showingly blowing fire skyward from a concentration of flame, to note that heat is equally significant to the black metal aesthetic. Freezing atmospheres of, say, Judas Iscariot or Old Wayne's easily give way to the blazing, burning, hellfire clamor of bands like the German Catharsis, 1349, or ever Sephira, without any drastic alteration of formal principles. And the force that mediates between these thermal intensities is a sort of conductive violence, a constant and potent accident of atmosphere that has the quality of a heat transference, which works upon something and draws it toward a limit, one of either overexcitation or exhaustion. While intensities of hot and cold are thermodynamic polarities, at their outermost extremities they converge as peripheral markers of sensory tolerance that are contingent with an immediate threat of destabilization and breakdown, which must be responded to, either by retreating and escaping to more hospitable and equilibrious grounds, or remaining and allowing oneself to be driven beyond all thresholds of tolerability, to the point where a fundamental change of state is inevitable. To have either force at one's disposal is to wield a power that menaces the stability of any system it may be set against. So in terms of their mutual capacity to provoke critical alterations of phase, fire and ice are kindred harbingers of conductive violence. To pervert a line of the great God-fearing English poet George Herbert, what pole is not the zone where all things burn? Black metal's intimate rapport with limits and intense states is precisely what necessitates its banishment to the periphery of the social, which relies on temperateness and civility to inform its standards of operation. Like any such system, it cannot abide the integration of radically unstable forces without rupturing or otherwise suffering a degradation of its structural integrity. The scent of your weakness excites this metal, screeches Leviathan in my molten armor. I will meet you with war. The intent of this paper is to explore in what capacities and to what extent black metal, insofar as it holds to its identity as a peripheral adversarial force, conceives of the destruction it threatens as productive of new orders of being in terms of both self and cosmos. In short, what states are beyond its thresholds? A slideshow of tropic black metal imagery clicks away. Shots of snow-weighted pine forests, static mountain light crossed with gray with ice fog, tundral expanses, a paysage d'hiver of stagnated lakes and blizzard burials. The recession into darkness of a hooded figure lapsing from presence into scowling and ascetic withdrawal, into an outflow of repellent frequencies that create distance by overtaking and immobilizing, tacitly coaxing one into a space of self-seclusion that resists the self-exposing conditions of the world space by freezing it back, sonically whiting it out. Such grim withdrawal gathers itself into a liminal polar space to nurse a blackening frost, a clandestine blaze which builds qualitatively against the world and threatens at any moment to seize up and overtake it. Immortal's Antarctica imagines that continent spreading its thermal influence over the globe. This is to quote the lyrics. Behind the gates and mighty portals of the Arctic polar circle builds the frozen layers of snow, a perfect platform to grow against the seasons. The snow belts of Antarctica rise with its dark polar winter storms. For Immortal, the freezing of the world is not an end in itself, a glorification of stasis, but is rather creative insofar as it heralds the return of a mythic ancestral past where ice winds carry ancient Norsemen to battle in black skies. Conceptually, the existing world must be frozen back, stopped, because it presents itself as incongruous with the realization of the fantastic ideal. It is precisely in terms of this incongruity that Immortal's adversarial force is concentrated, as they in turn embrace the bellicose ideal and offer themselves as vessels or carriers of it. At the same time, they connect a mystical ideal to this past. To quote again, "North Black Horde storm, through invincible cyclones of frost winds, I lift my hands and join the ceremonial circle of one wind." Here, the movement of battle sanctifies an engulfing ice vortex that harmonizes the self with the center of polar energy. Another song envisions the effects of being driven to the threshold where identity is yielded to frost. To quote, "Frostbitten I became, forthwith to see crystallized dimensions. You must come to me. There are nocturnal paths to follow." Similarly, Emperor's ensorcelled by chaos dramatizes a submission to the overwhelming forces of lust and war, which offer an escape from the endless mazes that entrap the seeker in his search for death. "Take me, Venus, seduce me, Mars, possess me, tear my soul from sanity." In each case, being taken beyond the threshold by the conductive violence of a tactile intensity involves a new opening up of the self and a restitution of identity on the basis of now belonging to that power and having become an expression of its potency. In a similar vein, isolationist misanthropic black metal draws the sources of its adversity to existence into itself, localizing in the individual the very forces of misery and dejection that make the world worth withdrawing from in the first place. The negative forces he internalizes become him, overcome him, and he lowers himself in submission to them so as to become an arbiter of their power. Steel room, dust-scented darkness thicker in corners, steel razor focalizing to pinpoint harshness, rays of expiring exterior light, forearm veins taut and pulsing purple, networks of vitalistic entrapment. To quote Leviathan, "Cut through deep, now set it free, cut through deep. From these depths, the gift and chalice, pain must be the course. I must have this. Don the horns of the skull. Pain is the path." "Rituals of excruciating pain," writes Victor Turner, "have the effect of rendering," quote, "rendering the individual down to a sort of human prima materia, divested of a specific form and reduced to a condition that is without or beneath accepted forms of status." Rest's sonic paths of pain, however, most usually do not lead to any sort of regenerative empowerment, but rather reassert the primacy of the liminal state where the potential of a thing to integrally withstand violence is transgressed. At the end of possibly the most awesomely titled song ever, "Fucking Your Ghost in Chains of Ice," Rest invites the hearer to convene and assimilate with fellow suicided spirits in a torturous void of extinction over which horrors preside, instruments of degradation that, through various methods of constraining and frictional compression, perpetually remind one of the weakness and fragility of the human. When leveled at the cosmos as a whole, the conductive violence of his aesthetic is concerned with driving vitality to an icy stasis approaching absolute zero, to a point away from renewal and beyond redemption. We see this in the lyrics to "The Idiot's Son," which are rife with images of wastedness and exhaustion. Quote, "Lifeless burned out sphere, now frozen to black, and ice is wet by the sun, stifled by crystal universe, arctic pitch black pyre of this sky no more, lifeless burned out sphere, self-destruction universe." In Rest's vision of cosmic cessation, fire is connected to vital, life-giving energy, and the extinguishment of the sun signals the terminal triumph of darkness and ice, which are employed for their suggestion of anguish and pain alone. Conversely, we see in Averse Sephira's detonation the transformative properties of fire employed for purposes of renewal. Quote, "Before reemergence, in a new radiance, the world must burn in rebirth. Bear witness to this rise." In a state of incineration, the world is an intensity in transition, a system forced to a state of maximum agitation, whereby it is conducted toward an open, purified state. This vision of cosmic destruction is expressed in purely material terms, and it displays conductive violence leveled not at being itself, excuse me, but at a particular orientation of being, from which vital forces must be liberated so they may reform in new configurations. Another quote from a verse of Sephira: all fetters melt away, releasing the pulchritude of mastery, obfuscated in the face of the moral, blood, flesh, death, earth, new life taken, taking shape. Likewise, in altar of perversion song, Wisdom of Evil, the speaker passes through the threshold of death in order to gain occult knowledge from Corazon, the dweller in the abyss, pledging, quote, I will kill what I call myself, and wear your mark as my eye, and wear your horns as my crown. I return, goat steps behind my steps. He withdraws into a liminal space that exceeds the capacity for mortality to withstand it, and undergoes a sacrificial demise in order to open himself as a habitat for and an expression of the power of the demon. But of him we can say what Bachai says of the sovereign, which is that, quote, he doesn't die, for he dies only to be reborn. He is not a man in the individual sense of the word, but rather a god. He is essentially the embodiment of the one he is, but is not. He is the same as the one he replaces. The one who replaces him is the same as he. This collapsing of identities is a matter of mutual empowerment in the sense that the demon is granted access to the open world, the realm from which death is kept in concealment, while the self is renewed by opening itself to the powers of death and centering the peripheral, or making standard a liminal state of being. What these examples attest to is that renewal in black metal frequently involves a realization of things in excess of themselves, at or beyond the limit of their possible expressions. As voiced by the Polish act Ngwa, beyond the border, on the other side of myself, in each drop of poison, in each strand of saliva, I am. The conductive violence that drives the system toward overexcitation or exhaustion is motivated by a dissatisfaction with medial states and a manifest lust for the intensity of transitions, of seeding or forcing a system to cede to a radical alterity that reconfigures identity by destroying and overtaking. Black metal's discourse of renewal is grounded upon its harnessing of polar energies in collusion with its antagonistic posturing against standard, non-intense, social and ontological states. I will let a quote from Nightbringer's Womb of Nyx serve as a final illustration of this process of productive destruction. Quote, and with a single word and the breath of flame, I bring forth the dawn. Let the wary weep as slumber turns to death. Let the earth smolder and heave as the golden pillars rise. That's it.